Speaking of prayer, we'll pause for a few moments of silent prayer so you can orient and adjust to concentration on our study in the second sessions. Shall we pray? Father, we are grateful to you for yet another opportunity to study your word. As we provide the positive volition and the willingness to concentrate, it is our prayer that we will add to our inventory of biblical truths in the coming session. We lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We are on page 379 of document 72, and we've just noted yet another time the concept of envy. And although I fail to note where we quit, I'll just blast into this. I think it's somewhere at the top of the page. And I think we noted verse 3 in closing, or point 3. We have established that in James 3 context, the best translation of the word zealous is envy. James asserts that those who have advanced spiritually will demonstrate an honorable manner of life, of rectitude and probity, by their recall and application of doctrine. Now, it is from this biblical lifestyle that such a person develops, retains, and applies wisdom drawn from his inventory of doctrine in his cardia. You're no more advanced than where you are presently with regard to your inventory. It gradually occurs over time. It is separated out into 11 categories of systematic theology so that you're able to know where you are, generally speaking, in a biblical passage. And so you can keep these things in mind as you move along in your studies. Our exegesis of James 3:14 introduced us to the study of the doctrine of envy. And here's a quick summary of how far we advanced in verse 14 when we undertook that subject. Beginning with James 3:13, James establishes a clear contrast between the honorable manner of life and the dishonorable lifestyle depicted in verse 14, which we noted in the closing the first session. Beginning with James 3:13, James established a clear contrast between the honorable manner of life and the dishonorable lifestyle depicted in verse 14. To remind you of that, let's go through them again. Verse 13, who among you is biblically wise with advanced understanding of doctrine? Demonstrate his production by his honorable manner of life of rectitude and probity, characterized by wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. The word there in that particular passage, jealousy, is zealous, and we translate that envy. So we have in verse 14 to repeat. It's introduced by the adversative conjunction de, along with the first class condition of the particle I, but if, and it is true. Together they separate verse 13, which is positive, and verse 14, which is negative. So he gives you two options here, and therefore your inventory has to decide which one you're going to apply, and it's quite obvious which one. Now, those James addresses have, quote, bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in their cardias. Now, this certifies that these believers have regressed back into the cosmic inventory of ideas they initially rejected in favor of doctrine. This can happen in the life of a believer. Circumstances can emerge as a result of, let's say, whatever trauma was introduced on that occasion. A positive, advancing believer can go negative. Be distracted, lose track with consistent Bible study. You have inhibition of wheel tracks of doctrine, and ultimately you're incapable of drawing inventory, even under the ministry of the Holy Spirit, of information you need to know for application. This is called reversionism. And there are reasons that cause people to go into reversionism, and once you heard their story, you might slap your forehead and say, well, no wonder. I can't imagine anyone having to go through that. And so there are things that can occur in life that are so overwhelming that you're staggered by it. But being staggered by it is typical of the human organization in the soul. But you have to ultimately recover from that and therefore get back with a program. We are human in the sense that we are going to run into situations that are overwhelming, at least apparently so. And therefore, you have to endure that and work your way through it, but always come back to the truth. And you need to be in sympathy for those who are engaged in that process. Those James addresses have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in their cardias. This certifies that these believers have regressed back into the cosmic inventory of ideas they initially rejected in favor of doctrine. So it's a flip-flop, you see. Now, this reversion has refacilitated old wheel tracks of bitter jealousy. That's picross, zealous, and selfish ambition. That's, we have the word here, erythia. So here's some background on the noun erythia. Unknown in the Septuagint and the Greek language before the New Testament, erythia is used seven times in the New Testament, including twice in the sin lists found in 2 Corinthians 12:20 and Galatians 5:20. The term erythia means paid work, and originally it had a positive sense, but it came to mean that which is done solely for interested motives, what's in it for me. Hence, the meaning, contrived to gain a position or a magistracy, not in order to serve the state, but to gain honor and wealth. From that developed two other meanings, dispute or intrigue to gain advantages, or personal ambition, the exclusive pursuit of one's own interests. We have already analyzed the New American Standard's translation of bitter jealousy to read bitter envying, as we have analyzed the significant differences between jealousy and envying. This is followed by selfish ambition, the noun erythia. It is the exclusive pursuit of one's own personal desires. So you can see how an advanced believer, because of circumstances that emerge, to go into reversionism. Now, this can be brief and therefore recoverable quite rapidly, or it can be prolonged and caused facilitated wheel tracks to diminish over time. So this is amplified by the use of the noun cardia, that's the word heart or stream of consciousness. In this context, the soul's inventory of cosmic ideas instead of divine viewpoint. So here's a flip-flop we see in those two verses. And we're all vulnerable to that. So you have to be on the lookout for it. Well, James then exposes the primary mental attitude that underwrites this mindset. This person is commanded to stop being arrogant with the present middle imperative of prohibition of the verb kata kau ka'amai, to arrogantly boast against another. Whatever the circumstance is here, it's caused this person to boast against another. The imperative of prohibition of the verb kata kau ka'amai and the negative of prohibition of the conjunction may becomes the 26th imperative mood of the book. It condemns the end result of this mental attitude, which results in an overt use of the tongue. So now circumstances have emerged, reversionism is engaged, and the tongue is engaged as well. And this is indicated by the following verb, which is the 27th imperative mood of the book, the present middle imperative of the verb pseudomai. It means to lie, speak falsely or deceitfully, to defraud or to cheat. Now get that, will you? How far has this person gone away from his orientation to the Word of God. These are things that come out of the mental attitude. This is an inventory from the dark side, and he's called these up and is applying them to the circumstance he faces. When a believer functions in the cosmic systems and his soul's inventory has been transformed into the advanced stages of reversionism, he suffers inversion of thought. And this is it. Won't go through all of this, but the advanced stages are the ones that really destroy a person's spiritual life. It can be corrected, but the loss of thought over a period of time means that facilitated doctrines are going to be diminished. Reaction and distraction. You cannot react. To react and be distracted means that you don't have clear thought about working through the program with the Word of God. Frantic search for happiness. Circumstances can cause you not to be happy. I'm not happy today because of thus and so. Well, there are things that happen in my life that I'm not happy about. Yeah. I'm not happy about the fact I can't watch Cardinal baseball this year. I do try to keep up with the box scores, but I'm not going to give ratings to the Cardinal telecast. If you want to know how, look, you need to know about this. Back in the day, Arbitron and others would send out booklets in the mail to people. It was a scattershot. And they ask you, when you watch television, please write down the channel number and the program you watched. And you had places to put that in. And you do this over a course of about 2 weeks. And when you're done, if you've been righteous about it, you've watched a number of programs over the course of 2 weeks, and you've logged that you actually sat down and viewed the program, including the commercials, back in the day before you could fast forward. And then you send it in. And then Arbitron and others would calculate what the ratings were for those programs in that viewing period. That meant that the commercials in those programs saw more eyes than programs on the other channels. Following that? But it was a scattershot. But nevertheless, that's how it was determined who got the increased benefits for their commercial showing, and therefore whether that particular program would come back on the following year. That's how it worked. Everything is digital now. You turn on your television, and let's just say you pick a particular news channel. You open it up at 8 o'clock in the morning and you close it at midnight, and they think you watched every frame for the entire day, and therefore the ratings go up. Everybody leaves a certain channel on all day, and all you're doing is giving false information to the guys that track this. If you want to have a program pulled off the air, make sure you never watch it. If you leave the TV going, they think you're looking at it. And all the data is there. They know when you turn your TV on and what channel you're on. So if you're ticked off with, say, a baseball club, and you want them to get the message, do not turn your TV on at all for that channel or any other program with which you're a little bit upset, legitimately so. You put eyes on that thing by the fact you clicked onto that channel, and they know you did it. They even know how long you watched. It's all in the computer. So it's not scattershot like it was in the days of yore. They got it down to the nut now. So if you say, well, I'm just going to watch a few games, they're going to keep doing what they're doing as long as you put eyes on the screen. I'm feeling much better now. You call that emotional revolt of the soul on my part. Locked in negative volition toward doctrine. locked in. Then you moved into the advanced categories of reversionism. This takes a while, but you can get there if you really try. Blackout of the soul. A vacuum in the soul that causes human viewpoint, human good and evil, to be sucking into the soul, which corrupts the thought process with doctrines of demons. Total disorientation due to the influence of evil. Now, you have to go a while before you get there. But nevertheless, that's the process if you stay out of fellowship. Then it's scar tissue of the soul, the buildup of false doctrines in the soul, which shuts down any recall of doctrine. The rate of forgetting exceeds the rate of recall. Vocabulary is diminished. Norms and standards degenerate. Momentum halts. And wisdom is lost. All spiritual functions shut down. And so reverse process reversionism is when you bottom out. The total influence of evil and divorcement from reality. What was previously considered right is now considered to be wrong and vice versa. It is the status quo of unrestrained and perpetual sinfulness, fragmentation, and excessive cosmic involvement. The believer's brainwashed by satanic propaganda. This is not a good place to be, but you got there by going through this, and therefore reaction, this up here, rejection of authority, lack of objectivity, hypersensitivity, all of these things start the process and the momentum that takes you down to here. And the recovery from this is a long haul. What this person used to consider to be the truth, he now rejects as the lie. So that the lie is now regarded as the truth. Okay, allow me to bloviate again. Do you watch the news? Are you trying to keep up with the chaos that's occurring in the client nation? Are you watching the reports of some people who, let's say, are in a position of authority, stand up and communicate what they think needs to be let known? What he used to consider to be truth, he now rejects as the lie, so the lie is now regarded as the truth. This is called inversion of thought. How does that occur? It doesn't occur overnight. Believing the lie is the truth, he arrogantly assumes those who maintain an inventory of biblical absolutes are worthy targets of his corrective diatribes. Anybody paying attention to this? We are in a moment in this client nation's history where those who claim to be communicating the truth are communicating the lie, which is called propaganda, among other things. And these are people who are in authority and have power. And what is the end game of telling people lies? To convince a large number of them that the lie that they're telling is accepted by many as being the truth. Okay? So if you have a vehicle for communication that enables you to propagandize the audience, then the more of those electronic contrivances that are available, then the more effective the brainwashing will become. So people have now for a century been propagandized in the federal schools. Now we're in the 21st century, and in the last 20 years, we've seen a monumental increase in electronic contrivances that are used almost universally by everyone. Certainly not me, but universally by everyone. And the communication among people who get on these websites, I'll call them, lacking another term for them. They argue with each other. They call people out. Names are assigned, blasphemous names. So there's no unity, there's no camaraderie. There is no association of your fellow man. It's I'm right and you're wrong, And therefore, since I'm right, I'm going to do things to you where you won't be able to function unless you change your mind and come around to my way of thinking. These are the early stages of a nation devolving into totalitarianism. And we see it right here. By the way, I taught this over a year ago. Do you remember me saying these things? Well, listen to this. What he used to consider to be truth, he now rejects as the lie, so that the lie is now regarded as the truth. Believing the lie is the truth, he arrogantly assumes those who maintain an inventory of biblical absolutes are worthy targets of corrective diatribes. The Word of God is under assault, and we're the ones with the truth. And they fear the truth. This results in his verbal assaults against the truth, indicated by the preposition kata, against, followed by tes aletheia, the truth, James 3:14. But if, de, but, strictly adversative, but if you have bitter envy and exclusive pursuit of one's own personal interest in your cardia stream of consciousness, then imperative mood number 26, do not arrogantly boast, and imperative mood number 27, do not arrogantly boast and lie against the truth, which is tes aletheia. Do not lie against the truth. Now, the writer of Hebrews gives some additional insight to James 3:14, where he criticizes believers who go into reversionism. Well, that's certainly needed from time to time, so here we go. Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6. For those who have been enlightened, faith alone in Christ alone. For those who have been enlightened and having tasted for themselves the gracious gift from heaven, namely salvation, and having become partners with the Holy Spirit, and having tasted for themselves the noble doctrines from God and His inherent powers of the coming age, namely the millennium, and having gone astray into reversionism, it is impossible to restore them again to the spiritual advance so long as they again and again crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. In other words, return to the animal sacrifices in context. Hebrews is context. And expose him to public defamation by placing themselves under the authority of the Levitical priests. So in this context, he's writing Hebrews here. He's using things out of the Old Testament as illustrations and the Levitical code and so on. It doesn't matter to what you deviate. The whole context has to do with deviations. You can't go back to the Old Testament and get involved in that system of worship that was simply pointing toward the coming Messiah. We're post-Messiah now. The rituals are no longer functional. That the Jews were held to. And the Jews still worship these things presently. But that's the Jews' business, free exercise. There's no place for anti-Semitism in any aspect of the Christian way of life. You pray for the Jews. But nevertheless, in context here, and all the guys writing this, you do recall the Jews. We don't know this guy's name. Some people say it's Paul, but they don't know. They just threw that out because maybe he's written more than anybody else, but we don't know. But he calls it Hebrews. And the illustration has to do with deviating back to the rituals of the Old Testament. Lying against the truth is in ascendancy in client nation America. Those with the electronic contrivances are lying straight-faced with their proclamations of cosmic propaganda. Post-January 20, their planned overthrow of the U.S. government is clearly underway. I'm old. I was born before the war. I've been through the halcyon days of yore. I've known what it's like to live in a free country. I've known what it's like to have unanimity among the people with whom you are familiar. I remember freedom. I was in a small town in South Alabama. I was a child. And in the summer, we were free reign. As long as you got back home at the appointed time, you were okay. Why were you okay? There was law and there was order. Also, we're told how we are to behave when we're on our own. So we're free to go anywhere we wanted to go as long as we didn't do anything that bothered adults doing whatever their business was. We were free. We never crossed our minds that we need to be afraid of anything. It was a halcyon environment. That was the 1950s, 40s and 50s. I'll never forget when it finally dawned on me, and I'd just graduated university, when something happened around 1965 or 6 or 7, somewhere in there, when things turned south. And it hasn't gotten any better since. And danger. Do you know they've gotten rid of a huge percentage of the police department in St. Louis City under the new mayor? Already they murder people down there with new records every year. So now it's open season on whoever. Okay, what I'm trying to make point here, we've lost the thought with people who have an agenda that we really don't quite understand where they're going to go with it, but it's not going to be a good place. So that you've got to assume that the creation of chaos is purposeful. So that at some point when the chaos reaches a certain point, then you're going to have a national police department. Each group has revealed what form of wisdom their souls possess, cosmic, totalitarian, or establishment biblical. Here is a definition that provides definitions of wisdom in the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language, 5th edition. Wisdom. I think I have the stream of consciousness here somewhere. Wisdom down at the bottom. That's a summum bonum there. The ability to discern or judge what is true, right, or lasting, therefore insight. Common sense, good judgment, the sum of learning through the ages, therefore knowledge. Wise teachings of the ancient sages, wise outlook, plan, or course of action. Legions have not inculcated the thinking, writings, and teachings of those who, through the revelation of the Holy Spirit to biblical writers, that resulted in the divine inspiration of Scripture. The absence of present-day interest in serious study of the Bible has allowed the multiplicity of human viewpoint writings and verbal bloviations to rush into the resultant void, with the conglomeration of the lie, propaganda, indoctrination, disinformation, human viewpoint, human good, and evil. That is the current zeitgeist. The best word to define this current system is the noun brainwashing. I'll read an excerpt on its definition, and we will resume the study on Wednesday evening. A forcible indoctrination to induce someone to give up basic political, social, or religious beliefs and attitudes and to accept contrasting, regimented ideas. Persuasion by propaganda. Get your shields up. Go to Ephesians 6, put on your armor. There's going to be hell to pay. Father, we thank you for the fact we're free. We thank you for the fact that we're a member of your royal family. We're pleased with the idea that we do have a wall of fire. May we trust in these things in order to maintain our concepts of freedom within our souls, that freedom focused steadfastly on the immutable word which you have provided in our studies. Encourage us that we maintain the forward advance as we lift our prayer of gratitude. In the name of Christ, our Savior, amen.